God's Word. We're going to be finishing up the book of Joshua tonight. Joshua 24, last week was in 14. Tonight we're in 24. You said we skipped a lot. Well, what we've done is we've got down to the end, and I want to show with you what the Lord has laid on my heart. In Joshua 24, we're going to begin reading in verse number 16. I want to preach a sermon to you tonight. My mama says all the time, and it's in the book. I asked mama something. She said, God forbid. Just God forbid. Every time I said, Mama, what do you think? She said, God forbid. They didn't do that, did they? I said, yeah, Mama. She said, God forbid. And I thought, what is God forbid? Why does she say that? And I'm going to show you tonight. God forbid. Amen. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Joshua 24 and verse number 16. And the people answered and said, God forbid. God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, it is He that brought us up out of our fathers of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, in which does those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all thy ways, wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you can't serve the Lord. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive you your transgressions nor your sins. See, what do you mean, preacher? He won't forgive. But wait now, keep reading your Bible. And Joshua says, He won't forgive you of all this. And He won't, you say you're going to serve Him, you better serve Him. He said, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He have done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight, Father, we love you. Father, we praise you. We glorify you tonight. Lord, I thank you for all the praise reports that's in the room tonight. Lord God, I lift them up to you tonight. Lord, I thank you that we got praise in our lungs tonight. I thank you tonight that Brother Les and Sister Christy, they've prayed through. And Lord God, Sister Emily, and Lord God, I thank you that they prayed through. And Brother Christian, Lord God, and they prayed through, Father, and they've seen that baby coming, Lord God. What a blessing that is. Lord, I pray you bless that family. Put a double portion on them tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for Sister Amanda standing up back there. And Lord God, the Holy Ghost got on her, and she thanked God. Thank you for taking care of Johnny. Lord, I thank you for Brother Tony tonight. Lord God, I thank you for his boldness tonight and stand and say he loves the Lord. Lord, I pray tonight you guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Let everything I say tonight be all about you and not one thing about me. Lord, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. And as we come tonight and Joshua is drawing to a close, I want you to know that Joshua has led the children of Israel, and they had had some failures, but they've also had some great victories. Anytime that you serve the Lord, you're going to have failures and you're going to have great victories. If all you think you're going to have in serving the Lord is victories, you're going to come up short. You're going to have failures, but you're also going to have victories. Now Joshua has come to the end. He's now 110 years old, and he has served God faithfully, but his message that God has given him is still the same. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If you go back to verse number 15, he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. He always reminds them that they should serve the Lord, and their response has been here at the end, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord. They said, we're not going to forsake the Lord. We're going to follow Jesus. We're going to follow God. We're going to follow the plan. We're going to follow Him. We're not going to back up. We're not going to sit down. We're going to follow Him. Even though Joshua's coming to the end of his life, even though he's dying, there's going to come a day that I'm going to die. I'm not going to stand behind this desk. And you're going to have to keep following God. You're still going to have to follow Him. You're going to have to follow the next man that stands behind this desk. And you're going to have to follow him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And the devil does not want you to do that. He doesn't want you to follow God. He's going to throw snares in your way to make sure that you don't follow God. And tonight, can I say to you, I want to give you three reasons why the children of Israel said, God forbid that we not serve God. God forbid that I quit, Mama, and go back to living the way I used to live. God forbid that I would do that. God forbid that I would go back and serve the gods of this world. I want to serve Jehovah tonight. And don't you? I want to serve Him tonight. And you say, preacher, why? Number one is because He has brought us out of bondage. He has brought us out of bondage. Look at verse 17 of your text tonight. He said, "For the Lord our God, it is He that brought us up out of our fathers, out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage." It was the Lord that brought us out of bondage. Tonight, if you're born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, it is because God that He's brought you out of bondage. It's because the blood of Jesus, you're no longer bound up in bondage. Exodus chapter number 20 and verse number 2. If you'll write this down tonight, Exodus chapter number 20 and verse number 2. This is when they've come out of Egypt and they've come out of the Egyptian bondage. He says, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage." And if you go on to read that, He's going to give them the Ten Commandments. He's going to give them what they should do and how they should live. Friends, tonight, if He's brought you out of bondage, He ought to be able to tell you how to live. Can I get an amen? If He's the one that's delivered you out of bondage and you're no longer got shackles and chains, He ought to be the one that runs your life. He ought to be your co-pilot tonight, but He ought to be your pilot. He ought to have all the authority over your life. He ought to be able to tell you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, and you not get offended tonight. Tonight, He's brought you out of bondage. He brought them out of slavery. They were slave to sin. They were slave to the Egyptians, and they had to do what they said, and they had them in bondage, and they wouldn't let them go. And tonight, can I say to you that God delivered them? And tonight, you don't have to be bound up in sin. We got a God in heaven that loves us, and God forbid that we go back and start serving some old god of this world, but we keep our mind and our focus on Jehovah tonight. He brought them out of Egyptian bondage. He brought them out of slavery, and He broke the chains that were on their life. You say, "Preacher, you believe that tonight?" He'll break the chains on your life tonight if you'll just give it to God, if you'll just turn over to God, and you'll say, "God, it's not my will, but Thy will. Whatever You would have me to do." And Joshua chapter number 1, if you'll go back in verse number 3 tonight, I want you to look at this. You say, "How did He bring them out of bondage?" Even though Moses had died, and Joshua came on the scene, and the same thing He promised Moses, He promised Joshua. Every child of God tonight has got the same promise. You don't have to live under bondage. You don't have to live in sin. You don't have to live bound down, but you can be set free tonight. Don't go back serving the gods of this world and put yourself in bondage. You get on the living free side. Can I get an amen? He says this in Joshua 1 and verse number 3, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon," everywhere your foot goes. God said, "Oh, you want to know you're out of bondage? Hey, you get to walk and you get to talk and you get to move it. You get going where I want you to go. And every place that your foot treads," He said, "I want you to know this, I have given it unto you as I said unto Moses." Hey, tonight, can I say to you, you don't have to sit on your pity party. You don't have to sit in doom and gloom. You can get on the mountaintop tonight and say, "I am free, I am free, I am free, I am free. I'm no longer in bondage, but I've been set free tonight by God Almighty." I see tonight, God forbid that we go back and get caught up in bondage. God forbid that as we're finishing up Joshua. He brought us out of bondage. But I want to show you something else in verse number 17. Not only did He bring us out of bondage, but He has preserved our path. Woo, glory to God. No longer am I in bondage, Brother Roy. No longer am I bound over here. But He said, "I've set you free. You're no longer a slave. Now go on this path." He has preserved a path before us. It's not a straight path, but it is a path. Amen? And He says, "You're no longer under bondage. You no longer have a yoke around your neck. Now I want you to get on this path, and I want you to walk this way." Here's what He says here in verse number 17. And He has preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. Get this tonight. You say, "Preacher, how did He preserve their path?" Number one, He parted the Red Sea. When He was with Moses and they had to come out of Egyptian bondage, He parted the Red Sea. He told Moses in Exodus chapter number 14 and verse number 16, "But lift up thy rod and stretch it out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." You say, "Preacher, is that a miracle?" I'm telling you, it is a miracle. It is a miracle that He took the Red Sea and He parted it from Moses. He parted that sea. That sea wouldn't flow, and that sea was just there. And it was out of His banks at that time of the year. But He said this, He laid it out there and He walked across on dry ground. There may be some things in your life that God needs to part in your life. No longer you're in bondage. All you need to do is walk. And all you need to do is take this word, Brother Tony, and lift this word. word up high and say, I serve a God in heaven, and God forbid that I serve some other God. I'm no longer in bondage, and my path has been preserved. You say, preacher, he has destroyed your path. You listen to me. I may have damaged it. I may have stunk it up real good, but I got a God in heaven, and he made it straight on the other end. Can I get an amen? You say, well, he did that for Moses, but he also did it for Joshua. He parted the Red Sea. He made the Red Sea part for Moses, but he parted the Jordan for Joshua. Woo, glory. Not only he parted the Red Sea, but he parted the Jordan. Now listen, the Red Sea was a great miracle, but the Jordan was even greater. You say, how is that? I want you to think about this. When he parted the sea wasn't flowing. When he parted the Jordan River, the river was flowing. Can you imagine a river that is flowing? One miracle here, he parted the sea. Can you imagine the old naysayers say, yeah, but anybody can do that, and nobody's ever done it before but God. Can I get an amen? But he said, if you don't like that miracle, let me show you this. And he took Joshua up to the Jordan River. He had done seen what happened with Moses, but now he's fixing to see on his own. Friends, don't you live on my experiences. Don't you live on what God's done in my life. You let God park some things in your life. Can I get amen? You get on your knees before it to God. You get on your knees before an almighty God, and you say, God, I need you to do something in my life. I need you to part the sea. I need you to part the river. Not always is it flowing, but sometimes it's got to flow. Can I get amen? And he said he parted the Jordan River in Joshua chapter number 3 and verse number 17, and the priest that bare the Ark of the Covenant. If you want that river to part in your life, you're going to have to take the Ark of the Covenant. You're going to have to take that Ark. You're going to have to take that covenant in your life in a figure of speech. You're going to have to take the Word of God and take Him as what He says. He said, and the priest that bare the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, he stood firm on dry ground. He stood firm on dry ground. He didn't waver. He didn't titter-tot. When he got going across that Jordan River, it was dry. Can I get an amen? It was dry. Can I say the Spirit of God done walked it dry? He parted that. He said, and he bare the Ark of the Covenant, and the Lord stood on, he stood on firm ground, and in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground, until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Can you imagine that? And then when the enemy there wanted to get them, you know what happened when the enemy came? What they just went across, the enemy got defeated by. Tonight, God's going to let you go through some paths in your life. He's brought you out of bondage. If you're saved, quit living under bondage. He's preserved your path. He has preserved your path. That means he's took care of your path. Not only did he do it for Moses, not only did he did it for Joshua, but he does it for you and I. Isaiah chapter number 45 and verse number 2, guys, if you'll put that on the board tonight, not only would he do that when he parted the sea and he parted the river, but God will straighten out the crookedness that's in your life, the crooked path that's in your life that you need straightened out. He will do that tonight. Isaiah chapter number 45 and verse number 2, the Bible says, and this is what God told to Isaiah, and Isaiah spoke it. He said, I will go before thee. Ain't you thankful for that tonight? He said, not only did I got you on the back side, but I'll get you on the front side too. Not only will I go behind you, but I'll go in front of you. Friends, tonight I thank God I got a God in heaven. He took that bondage off of me, and he has preserved my life. He has saved me. There's no way I'd be alive today. I'd be dead in the devil's hell right now if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ. Brother Brad Edwards, he preserved my life. I'm telling you tonight, I don't deserve to stand behind this desk. I don't deserve to preach this word, but I will not sugarcoat it, and I will not be an icicle when I stand up here, because there's people dying, going to hell, and they need to know that there's a God who saves. He can get you out of bondage. He can take care of your path, and he can make what's crooked in your life straight tonight. He says tonight, he said, I will go before thee, and I'll make the crooked places straight. He said, what's crooked? I'll straighten it out. Friends, I'm telling you, I was crooked. Would you say I was crooked, baby? Look at her. She did big eyes. She did big eyes. You got somebody send you a text, and they send big eyes. She just did big eyes. She knows I was crooked. Man, I'd cut your throat instead of looking at you. I'd steal from you instead. I was crooked as crooked as it could be. I was crooked. You hear me? Crooked. Crooked. I'm talking about like a snake. Crooked. Today, man, I'm telling you what, before I come to church, I got a spirit over me. I don't know what happened. About 4 o'clock, just a spirit got on me, and I was ill, mad as a hornet. I think since I've had open heart surgery, man, I get ill sometimes and mad and just get so. He said, I can't, man, I'm telling you, mad. You talk about mad. But Roy, I want to rip the sheetrock off the walls for no reason. I wasn't mad at nobody. I was just mad. Man, I was just fired up mad. And I was sitting on the couch, eyes closed, hands on top of my head. You know how we do sometimes. I'm just sitting there. And she's like, what's wrong? I said, nothing. Nothing. Just rubbing my bald head. Nothing. She said, you want to go down to the bottom with us? No, I don't want to do nothing with y'all. I just want to sit here. Am I talking to anybody? God forbid that I go back to where I used to be. God forbid that I lash out to her. Best is keep my mouth shut and say anything. Man, I knew what was on me. I knew the spirit that was on me. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was an evil spirit, man. It was trying to get me doom and gloom and down in a rut, man. I'm telling you. And I just sit there rubbing my old head. And then I said, I'm going to get on the treadmill. Got on the treadmill, walked about 4 minutes, and she pulls back up. She said, get the gun. Get the gun. I'm like, get the gun? I'm mad, and you want me to get a gun? I mean, yo, I'm mad. Yo, I'm mad. I'm not. No crookedness wanted to come out of me. Brother, old crookedness wanted to come out of me, boy. For no reason. I'm talking about I'm just going to have a comfort for no reason. I ain't in bondage. My path is preserved. Why am I so fighting mad? I get the gun. I said, what is it? She said, a snake. I took off down. She said, it's probably gone. She said, Kaylee's going to be waiting beside you when you get. She's coming up the driveway. She ain't waiting on nobody. She said, I didn't have nothing to kill it with. And I had to get out down there. I said, it's probably gone. We pulled up and that thing's laying there like it owned the place. That thing was just laying there like it owned the place. I shot that joker in the head and it fell off in the creek and went to walk over and another one jumped off. He said, what'd you do with that other one? I told him, I said, he'll come back. That's what they do. That crooked, sorry devil, he'll come back. That's what he does. He said, yeah, but you killed him. I killed one. They ain't gonna tell how many more's down there. How many you gonna kill him? Kill them all or I kill them all. We made a loop around and come back, and there other one just laid right there like he owned the place. I'm talking about right by the doorsteps, Brother David. I'm not talking about hiding. The devil won't hide from you. He ain't scared of me. He said, you said it was just a snake. Oh, no. Don't you play yourself it's just a snake. What was that spirit on me? What was that all about on me? Why was I in that kind of mood? Why was I there? He didn't want me to go down there. He wanted my family to walk up on that thing and get bit. That's what he wanted. Watermarks can lay in there ready to bite somebody. Man, I'm telling you tonight, folks, the battle's real. The battle is real tonight. And he'll take that in your life. He'll make you do things you ain't supposed to do. Let me say that. The old devil tried to get on you. I went back and shot that other. He fell off in the creek. Man, I tell you what, we got going home. We was together. And she was like, are you better? I said, I'm coming out of it. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all don't know. Y'all don't know. Y'all act like y'all don't have them days. I mean, I was fine to 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock, son, it's like you just turned a switch. And it just got all over me. 5 o'clock, I was doing good. 5:45, went there, shaved and cleaned up. I said, you ready to go to church? She said, I'm ready to go to church. I said, let's go to church. She said, you ought to call Riley Cagle. Let him fill in tonight. You don't need to be up there, ill as you are. I said, it'll pass. I got to shave. Why? Because I don't live in bondage no more. Folks, I'm a real preacher. I just tell you real. I'm not one of these sugarcoating fellas. If you want that, you might as well go on down the road and find you somebody else. You want somebody to quit telling you life application, go on down the road and find you somebody. I've been delivered from bondage. God forbid that I go back and run my mouth the way I used to do. God forbid that I be ill to my family. God forbid that I act that way. God forbid. And Satan wants you to. He wants you to. He wants you to live in that bondage. He wants you to live in that fear. That's what Satan wants. God forbid that I live there. But not only that, God forbid, because he's preserved my path. I'm going to give you the last thing. I will follow him faithfully, Brother Brad. Not only did they say, God forbid, because he's got me out of bondage, God forbid that he's preserved my path. And I'm just going to follow him faithfully. He said, preacher, you're going to follow him faithfully. I'm going to follow him faithfully. Let me show you this. And I'm going to tell you why I had such an evening this evening. It's because how God spoke to me. Look in verse 21. Joshua done told him, he said, y'all are not going to be able to do this. You're going to say you're going to serve God and you love God. In about 2 weeks, you're going to turn back and you're going to start murmuring. And that's why they said, God forbid we do that. We're going to follow. We need some people in here to say, God forbid. God forbid I go back. God forbid who walks in these doors try to run us the way they want to run us. I was here before they came and I'll be here when they're gone. God forbid we'll let some other crowd come in here and try to run us any way they want to run us. God forbid we'll use another kind of Bible. God forbid we'll do that. God forbid we'll just let anybody live like they want to. God forbid we'll let people join this church that's shacked up and not right with God. God forbid we'll do that. You said preachers may need grace. No, they don't. They need to be saved is what they need. They need to be saved. God forbid that we'll back down. God forbid that preachers will stand and preach the truth. Not that, man, I'm telling you, God forbid it's on me. He said, preacher, how will you follow him faithfully? Look in verse number 19. Joshua said, now you want to follow God? They said, we're going to follow him. He said, okay, here's what you've got to do. You're going to follow God? Okay, here you go. You want God? Here you go. We have dumbed down, watered down the gospel so much. It's pitiful. You just look at Facebook. It's pitiful. Man, you just say, I believe in Jesus. And do anything you want to do, live any way you want to, and you're going to heaven. It's just good. That is the sorriest gospel I've ever heard of, folks. That is the sorriest, watered-down gospel. I didn't get saved under that gospel. Paul said they preached some other gospel. He said, I don't know that gospel. That gospel's not of God. That's not the gospel I got saved under. The gospel I got saved under is the death, burial, and resurrection. I died, he buried my sins, and he rose me again. I've done the same. Jesus Christ done that in me physically. The death, burial, he died. He was buried. He rose again. When he saved me, I died. The old man died. It was buried and a new man rose up. Not to do what I used to do. Folks, I'm telling you, I don't know about this new gospel. God forbid we have a gospel like that in this church. God forbid. Man, I'm telling you, you don't live in bondage. You don't go back out there and do the things you used to do. I know y'all the core of the church. I'm just having a good time tonight, amen? Got that sucker off of me about 6 o'clock. I was ready to preach now. God forbid. God forbid we let that go on in the church. God forbid. God forbid we get back in bondage. God forbid that we get off the straight path and quit following God. Man, there's so many people that's quit following God. I'm telling y'all, they just quit. They just quit. Preachers just quitting every time you turn around. Just quitting. Just quitting. Please don't quit. I love every one of you in this building. But there's going to come a day I'm not giving an account to my deacon board. No, no. There's coming a day I will never give an account to them. I won't give an account to y'all no more. I'll be standing before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God forbid that I let some deacon board tell me what to do. God forbid I let some church tell me what to preach and what to do. God forbid that I stick with that book. And we got a good deacon board. They believe the book too. But we could be a generation away, Brother Harold Cantrell. We could be one generation away from voting in a deacon board that would tear this place slap apart. We're one generation away from letting the preacher get up here and tear this thing slap apart. When I retire, I plan on being a member of this church still. When I retire and hang it up, I plan on sitting over there. Root him on. Preach on, brother. Preach on. That's what I plan on doing. That's what I plan on doing. God forbid. He said, no, you just blowed in here for a time. You'll blow on out. Oh, no, no, no. I've invested my life here. I love what God's doing here. And I won't go to a church. We'll not go to a church if the truth ain't being preached. Had a man text me this week, so-and-so is preaching a revival. I just text back, yep. Yep. Why? Ain't no way I'd go listen to him. Ain't no way. Why? Is he not a good preacher? Oh, he can preach the word. But the life that he lives. All preacher. No. Don't preach with me. God forbid. My life's on display here. I've not deposited a check from this church, and I can't tell you when. Chrissy's done it for forever. I don't touch the money. God forbid. I'm held accountable on everything I do here. My life is on display here. I don't touch the finances. I don't touch the book. I don't touch nothing. You ask them. Eric Cruz sitting there. Les Carr sitting there. Chrissy's deposited my check. If I went to deposit that thing, somebody's hacking me. Why, preacher? I don't go in a room with kids without other adults there. I don't go in a room with a woman without my wife there or my sister. I grab my sister and bring my sister in the room, bring my daughter in the room. I don't get caught with another. My life is on display. God forbid that I do what the other ones are doing. God forbid that I go down that road. God forbid. God forbid. Don't let somebody do that when they come in here. Follow him faithfully. My life's on display. I don't have nothing to hide to nobody. I'm an open book written red by all men. God forbid. And here's what he told him, Joshua told him. Here's what Joshua told him. I want to show you this before we go. Man, I've just had a good time tonight. Boy, I just had a good time. And I'm just preaching to Satan, by the way. God forbid. He can get off me right now in the name of Jesus. Verse number 19, Joshua said, you going to follow him? First, I'm going to have to confront you. The word said in 19, Joshua said unto the people, you can't serve the Lord. You can't serve him. You can't serve him, for he is a holy God. He's jealous. He won't forgive you your transgressions nor your sins. He said, you're going to say you're going to follow God, and then you're going to forsake him. You're going to go out here and serve some strange God in verse 20. He said, and then he's going to turn around and he's going to consume you after he's done you good. And the people said, nah, I'm going to serve him. He confronted them. He let them know, hey, if you're going to follow him, you better follow him. Don't you make an oath that you can't keep. If you say, man, I'm telling you, if you're going to follow him, when I baptize a kid up here, what about anybody? I said, you're going to follow him all the days of your life? That's what I asked. Y'all hear me? In the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. I say, you're going to follow him all the days of your life? They say, yeah, I sure am. They made an oath. He confronted them. He said, you got to follow him. But not only did he confront them, but he wanted them to confess. That's what we do here at this church. You say, that's Old Testament. That's Old Testament, New Testament, All Testament. Amen? It's all Bible. Go to the maps. Go to the concordance. Go to anywhere you want to go. It's all Bible. Find you a place and get in there. It'll bless your heart. Verse number 22, and Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourself. He said, not only did I confront them, but I made them confess. I look what he said. He said, you are a witness against yourselves that you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, yes, we did. We're a witness. What's them kids do up there? All these adults do. Brother Brantley, what'd you do? I asked you, you going to follow the Lord all your life? You spit your gum out and said, I sure am. It was so serious, you had to spit your gum out. Amen? Okay. Confronted. Confess. Then he said, you're going to have to change now. He said, you've been confronted. You confessed. Now you got to change. He said, well, why they got to change? Preacher, look at verse 23. Now, therefore, put away. That tells me they got strange gods still amongst them. They still got them in their lives. They're still playing around with them. Tonight, there's something in your life you might need to put away. To get it out of your life. Look what he said. Here's what he said. He said, now, he said, I'm telling you, he's going to bring you out of bondage. He's going to make it straight. He's going to preserve your path. And you've got to follow him faithfully. And they said, we're witness. We'll do it. Verse 23 said, now there put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you. He said, get them out of your life. You're going to follow God, get them out of your life. He said, preacher, I can be saved and do anything I want to do and still go to heaven. You will not find that in the book. You will not find that in that book. I will not back down on this book. He said, put them strange gods away from you. He said, what are strange gods? I don't know. I know what mine was in my life. I know what I followed. I know what I served. I know what I loved. I know what I thought I couldn't work without. I know what I had in my life. And things are gone. There's new in my life. His name's Jesus. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Not only he confronted them, not only did they confess and they said they was going to change, but in verse 25 he said, now you're entered into a covenant. You've entered into a covenant. Folks, tonight we're all in a covenant with Jesus Christ if you're born again. A covenant. A covenant is something that cannot be broken. Look what he says here. Verse 25, so Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statue and ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words of the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Not only he confronted them, they confessed and they changed and they made a covenant with the Lord. And I wrote this down. God forbid that we should forsake the Lord. He has brought us out of bondage, preserved our past, and we must follow him faithfully. We have a better covenant than they did. Hebrews 7:22 says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. The word surety means we have a pledge. A pledge, the covenant is, it cannot be lost, it cannot be damaged, and it cannot be defaulted on. And our covenant is the name of Jesus. I'm going to share that, God forbid, me and my daughter, I'm sitting there, Brother Brantley, my daughter's 21, and she can tell you things God's done in our lives that just make mountains move, okay? I'm sitting there. I know we're running a little short. I'm just sitting there. I got to tell you this. We're sitting there this week together. Joshua's over. We're at the end of Joshua. And I don't know where to go next in the Bible. I don't know where to go next in the Bible. So I've laid my fleece out. I opened my Bible up to work. Two places I know the Lord's sending me. One is either Obadiah or Jonah. Both of them's in the Old Testament. When you open your Bible up, Obadiah is one chapter. There he is. Jonah's right beside him. You're looking at both of them. I can't get a confirmation on which one he wants me to go to. So I'm just praying, seeking. I told Kaylee, I said, baby, I can't get a confirmation on it, nothing. I said, okay. We go on about our day. About 4 o'clock in the evening, we go to a park or a rider. Everything's good. Everything's working fine. And I see Kaylee sit down on a park bench with a lady. I look over there. She looks like she's handling her own. They having a good time smiling. I'm over there wrestling Ryder, trying to get things done. And she comes over there. And she said, Daddy, let me tell you what this woman just told me. And I said, I'm going to tell my daddy. I said, okay. I said, what'd she tell you, babe? She said, I told her about how many years we was apart, me and Ryder. And she said that she had been praying years ago for a little girl. Twins. Little girl, little boy, just twins. And said that they've been praying and praying and praying, and they could not get pregnant. So they said, we'll just adopt this girl. And they adopted this little girl, a foreign girl. And 6 weeks later, she was pregnant. So the Lord gave her twins. Got a little girl, got a little boy. Y'all listening? I said, really? She said, yes. And she said, when that little boy, that little girl come to their house before the boy was born, they got her. She was 6 weeks old. They got her. They had her in a little dress. And on that dress was nothing but little whales all over that dress. And she said, that woman named their son Jonah. And she, Kaylee's like, and they named her son Jonah. She said, you know what we was talking about this morning? We didn't know, you didn't know where to go in the book, either Obadiah or Jonah. You didn't know where to go? And I was like, yeah. She's like, there is the sign. I was like, yeah. She said, you need to go talk to that woman. I wrote where that woman was, and I started talking to her. And I was excited about it. She said, preacher, you preach at Jonah. Because my son is running away. He's no longer in church. Grew up in church, loved the Lord. Now he's turned his back and he's in a foreign country. Her name is Donna and her husband's name is David. She said, but I'm praying that my son comes back home. And I told her, I said, I'm going to do a study in the book of Jonah because of that right there. That was my confirmation right there. God forbid that I would follow Satan or do anything of that world when I got a God in heaven that can set me down on a park bench in the middle of nowhere, send me exactly what I need, the word that... Do you know any kids named Jonah? You might know one, but I don't know one. Do you know anybody you'd sit down with, a complete stranger, and they say, by the way, I named my kid Jonah. She don't even know the story yet. What would God do? I told her, I said, I'm going to do one thing for you. She said, what's that? I said, I'm not big on Facebook or doing anything, but I want to give you the website to the church so you can listen to that whole series of Jonah. I'm going to start it next week. I gave her that website. Folks, tonight I want you to know there's a God in heaven. God forbid that we'd serve the gods of this world. We got a God that took us out of bondage. Didn't know where to go. Obadiah or Jonah, what are we going to do? God pointed it right down there, right there. Same day. God forbid. He said, preacher, that's just because you're a preacher. No, it ain't. Not only did I lay my fleece out, but I'm looking, I'm listening. I've told my daughter, she's looking, she's listening. Looking, listen, pay attention. We're out of bondage, he's preserved our path, and he'll bless you if you'll follow him faithfully. He would rather have obedience. The Bible says obedience than sacrifice. He said, well, I'm going to sacrifice. He don't want everything you got. He just wants you. He don't want all your bank account. He don't want all your cars, all your land, all your... He don't want all that. He just wants you. Because he knows if he gets you, he's got everything else. He can have everything else and not have you. He don't want that. Preacher, what does he want? He wants you. He wants me. He wants me to follow him faithfully. Let us pray. Father, I love you and I praise you tonight. Thank you for this service. Thank you for what you've let us do. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight that needs to know that, God forbid, we let things go on around here that's not of you. God forbid tonight, Father God. God forbid we say we're a church that don't judge. Lord, your book says that judgment must start at the house of God. And Lord God, tonight we're not judging nobody, but that book will judge. That book will judge somebody tonight. If we open it and we preach it and we teach it, it's going to even judge the saved people tonight. It's going to judge the lost people. It's going to judge everybody. Because just as Brother Riley said Sunday night, it is sharper than a two-edged sword. And Lord God, I thank you for that tonight. I need cut from time to time. Lord, I thank you that you cut me every day with that word. Lord God, you keep me tender in what you want me to do. I love you and I praise you. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say, amen. Love